Before I start the message today, I would like to say that it is written from the literal viewpoint of the virgin birth, as described in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. I just really wanted to say that I acknowledge that some people don't necessarily believe in the literal translation. And if you're one of them, I hope that despite that, you'll be enriched by the message that God has placed on my heart to share with you today. Would you join with me in prayer? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power in it and the challenge it provides to us. Thank you for the response it demands and the promises it brings. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, open our eyes and minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us. Touch our hearts, Lord, so that we may be changed in some way. Help me to deliver it with clarity and at a pace you can work with. During this Advent season, give us a fresh taste of your sovereignty and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who remembers the TV series Tales of the Unexpected? Are you all of a right age to remember that? For those of you who don't, it was a series that ran for about 9 years, and it dramatized short stories by Roald Dahl. Each episode had an unexpected twist, sometimes to the ending and sometimes in the middle. But it was something, or was always something, that you didn't quite expect. Our scripture reading today is also a story with an unexpected twist. It tells of a young girl, maybe as young as 14, who thought her life was headed in one direction, looking forward to getting married and having a family of her own, excited about her forthcoming wedding. Then, all of a sudden, an angel appears unexpectedly, and her life is turned upside down. Who knows that feeling? Everything in life is as it should be. And then wallop. Something happens that veers our lives way off the course from where we thought we were heading. If anything should spur us Christians away from predictability, it's the Christmas story. Our God is anything but predictable. We should know to expect the unexpected. At last week's evening service, when speaking about her experience in retail, Katie said, "God ruptures our expectations." And this story is a prime example of that truth. Who is this amazing, perplexing God who reveals himself in unexpected ways in the lives of those he calls highly favored? There are two interlinking stories in the readings today. The first tells us of a virgin who learns that she is to defy nature and bear a child, and no ordinary child. This child would be the Son of the Most High God. The second is Elizabeth's story, Mary's cousin, who is also in her 6th month of a miraculous pregnancy, given that she's in her old age and was previously barren. God was keeping his salvation plan in the family. Mary and her cousin Elizabeth both had key roles to play. In these 19 verses, Mary is called favored or blessed a total of 6 times. God has broken into Mary's life in a spectacular way and is about to seriously interrupt her plans. The angel Gabriel has been sent to a specific person in a specific place at a specific time, and he has a prime role in this narrative. First, he's the messenger that's sent to tell Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, that Elizabeth will bear a son in her old age. Then Gabriel announces to Mary that she is highly favored by God and that he has chosen her to become the mother of the Messiah. Mary is described in the passage as being cautious, perplexed, thoughtful, and afraid. It's no wonder. Why would a young girl, barely more than a child, from a remote little village far from Jerusalem, be considered for such a distinctive role? 6 months earlier, when Zechariah hears Gabriel's message, he doesn't believe him and is struck dumb for the entire length of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In contrast, Mary, although she questions how it's possible she can become pregnant when she's still a virgin, submits herself completely to the Lord's will. She abandons her questions and names herself the servant of the Lord, saying, "May it be done to me as you have said." Mary's submission is a lovely thing. Whatever God says, I accept. I often think I would save myself a lot of heartache if I could be more like her. Her response is so different from ours often is. Our favourite prayer, often really meaning, "Your will be changed, our will be done." The coming Messiah, who will redeem the world, is anticipated and proclaimed. Not by high priests, not by emperors, not by any king, but by two marginalized pregnant women of different generations, one young, poor, and unmarried, the other beyond age to conceive. A baby leaps. Blessings are shared. Astonishment is expressed. One baby is the messenger, the other the message. Scripture tells us that Mary did experience many blessings in her role as the mother of Jesus. The reaction of the visitors to the stable to worship her son after his birth must have been astonishing. The joy of bringing up and nurturing a child who never sinned. What a joy that must have been. She had four other children that we know of, so if she didn't experience the terrible twos with Jesus, I'm sure she did with them. She was a participant in his first miracle in Canaan, when he turned gallons of water into gallons of the very best red wine. She witnessed his public ministry and probably all of his amazing miracles. She had the privilege of hearing firsthand his wonderful teaching. But although Mary's task was an honor, it was also going to be peppered with struggle. To be chosen by God often means we have to wear a crown of joy and a crown of sorrow at the same time. Like Mary, following the Lord can bring blessing and pain in all sorts of ways. Like Mary, God chooses us, not to use us. To use us, he has to train us and prepare us. And that's a huge privilege, but it can also be extremely painful. But times of crisis can motivate us to move out of our comfort zone. From time to time, he calls us to follow him. It's into crisis and discomfort. Mary's story is a testament to that. Arranged marriages were still the in thing in Jewish culture at the time. Mary is betrothed to Joseph, engaged in other words. Being pregnant out of wedlock was going to be a serious problem. Did Mary think about that before she said yes? She will bring shame and disgrace upon her fiancé, her family, and her community. Her crime so severe that Jewish law allowed for her to be stoned. Will any of them believe her when she tells them what has happened? Maybe Mary figured that God would protect her and make everyone believe her story. After all, she is carrying the Messiah. God won't let any harm come to her, right? But clearly, blessing doesn't mean comfort, luxury, prosperity, and ease. For Mary, it means a difficult journey ahead with many challenges, pain, discomfort, and sometimes danger. God's blessing doesn't mean living a charmed life. Mary asked the angel Gabriel, "How can this be?" How many times must Mary have uttered those words in the days and years to come? How can this be? Her son, born in a stable, with only hay and an animal feeding trough to sleep in. How can this be? Her family uprooted in the middle of the night to flee to another country. How can this be? Her son lost for 3 whole days at the age of 12. How can this be? Her son's ministry creating so much unrest with the important religious rulers that they are trying to kill him to shut him up. How can this be? Her innocent son, the Son of God, betrayed, rejected, arrested, imprisoned, and whipped until his flesh is torn from his body. How can this be? Her broken son, nailed to a Roman cross, dead. That would be the sword that would pierce her heart. Through the blessings and burdens that Mary bore, she is reminded that her life is not her own. Her life belongs to God, something we need to remember too. One great preacher once said, "Jesus Christ came not to make life easy, but to make men great." We are ordinary. He makes us extraordinary because of his grace, because of his presence with us. God does not always make sense. In Katie's words, he ruptures our expectations. Mary encountered a God that asked her not to have everything figured out with tidy explanations and clear conclusions, but to wrestle with the mysteries of who this Messiah God really is. If, like Mary, we are close enough to Jesus to hold him, to be near to him, to be in a real relationship with him, we too will encounter mystery that cannot be explained in human terms. He is the God of the impossible. He always has been. So what does this mean for us? Gabriel calls Mary to rejoice in God's call, to abandon her fear and release her dreams in order to embrace his. Our call is no different. We are called to be confronted and changed by his love, a love not based on securing our happiness, but on his commitment to changing us into the people he created us to be. God's purpose and priority is not that we live pain-free, but rather that we come to know who he truly is. God allows us to experience the low points in life in order to teach us lessons that we can learn no other way. Our walk with God is unique, but it's often a journey towards a place we can't see, don't understand, and sometimes don't want to go. If Mary had known that one day she would see her baby boy hanging on a Roman cross, would she have submitted to God's plan? We don't know. But that's probably why God keeps the journey ahead hidden from us. Over the last few years, during a very challenging time in my personal life, I have asked God, couldn't you have spared me this meaningless and painful road? There must be an easier way. But I have come to realize that it's because of times like these that Jesus becomes more than one who provides, but the bread itself. More than the one who frees, but freedom itself. More than a way out of darkness, but light itself. Mary's journey teaches us that even through hurt and discomfort, maybe especially at those times, God is leading us to a place where we will glimpse his glory anew. Sometimes we have to travel a path we don't understand to arrive at the place God wants us to be. God can transform our everyday, sometimes boring, sometimes messed up, sometimes confusing and frustrating, sometimes doubting and imperfect life, into something amazing for his glory. God sees us, he knows us, he's with us in our blessed times and in our times of challenge. I think this story offers comfort, support, and courage to all of us, but particularly for those in overwhelming circumstances. It tells us that it's okay to question whether or not, in our trials and tragedy, God's promises are real. These questions shape our faith and remind us how much is hidden from us. Is God calling you out of your comfort zone to a new adventure? Are you willing to say, like Mary, "May it be done to me as you have said"? Mary moved beyond her comfort zone and had the privilege of being the mother of Jesus. As God's people, King David says to us in Psalm 23, "Your cup runneth over with blessing." Our Christian witness should mirror that of Mary and Elizabeth, with thankful hearts, knowing that we are blessed in spite of the circumstances we might find ourselves in. God's kingdom is not about earning and deserving. It's about believing and receiving. God's priorities are the same now as they were at the Annunciation, that the world will encounter its Saviour. Amen. Yeah.